Well, good morning, everybody. This is Dave Weiner coming to you from the basement of the UN Millennium Plaza Hotel in lovely New York City. And I'm here with Jonathan. Is it Jonathan?
Jonathan, yeah.
Jonathan Cazzo. Jonathan is...
Cazzo.
Cazzo?
Just Cazzo.
Cazzo. Okay, I just call Cazzo. You Cazzo.
Just Cazzo. Well,
of course, the secret's out right now.
Everybody
knows who you are. And so, John Cazzo is a British.
Yes.
So we're going to talk like members of the British royal family today. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to do it, but he can do it. I can.
Yes.
And so Cazzo, how did we meet, actually? When did you first, you got in touch with me and said that you wanted to do a podcast with me, right? Or was that what it was?
No, I don't think it was that direct.
You had something.
I think it was just something interesting. I just emailed you some interesting link to go, hey.
Oh, that's right. No. You were doing the logo for
the podcast.
Morning Coffee Notes, right.
That's what
and I totally didn't understand, but it was pretty spacey. And hey, I didn't use it, did I?
Well, you haven't used it yet.
I haven't used it yet. There you go. That's the optimistic.
I haven't fully assimilated you yet.
Ah, that's right. So can you talk in that like squeaky voice that you
Unfortunately
do?
Unfortunately not. No, well, you see, I am. I'm already talking in the...
It's been modulated.
Voice. I'm actually already talking in my funny voice.
Oh, so... So the theory is that your name isn't Cazzo at all. It's... What was it?
Blug.
Blug, right.
Blug, yes.
And Blug. Your girlfriend is?
The Doctor.
Doctor. But she's really Joe, right?
Yeah.
Joe is perfect. A scientist, right? Oh, I'm not supposed to. Oh, no, never mind.
She is a real doctor.
She's a real doctor.
But not like a health doctor.
Not like a health
she's
doctor.
She's a doctor of the interweb.
Okay. So we have to be careful what we talk about
Indeed.
Here, guys. Yeah. Which isn't my usual MO for life because I'm usually like a loose cannon. So anyway, we have absolutely no idea what we should talk about. We're going to talk about podcasting, right? Because that's all anybody
that's what
ever,
we're doing.
That's what all anybody ever talks about when they're podcasting anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And since we're in New York, obviously, we have to talk about podcasting.
Yeah.
So what do you think about podcasting?
Well, I think it's recreated a love of radio that I had long forgotten.
Is that right?
Yeah, especially talk radio and... Company, you know, people like radio for company. I mean, some people like listening to music. I like listening to people talk. You know, I like people watching as much as I like people hearing. Or
right.
People listening, isn't it? You know,
so. Yeah, there's lots of little sounds going on here in this room.
And that's great as well.
It is. It gives it a sort of, there's dishes clanking, and there's a guy over there. We're actually sitting in a bar in the middle of the morning, and it's very dark.
And Danny Glover was having breakfast in the corner.
Danny Glover was sitting right there in the corner where we were eating breakfast.
Going, I'm too old for this shit.
No, actually, I rode up in an elevator with Danny Glover. I rode down in an elevator. And so I was being really cool, like not going, hey, you're Danny Glover, aren't you?
He's like, you're the one.
Actually, it occurred to me that maybe, whoops.
Sorry.
There goes the microphone. That probably.
I'd be like.
Well, it's funny. You were, so I played it really cool. But the mirrors. In this hotel, there's mirrors everywhere you look in this hotel, including the elevators, right?
Yeah.
And so I looked, just looking ahead of me, but I could see what he was doing, and he was making faces, like, you know,
gurning.
Seeing his teeth, and just making sure he looked, it looked to me like he looked like he was, like, making sure he looked really good, because he's like an actor. If I had talked to him, you know what I would have asked him about? I would have said, what do you think about what Mel Gibson is doing, you know, with The Passion
right.
of the Christ and all that
right.
stuff, because... You know, he did all those. What was the name of the
Lethal
movies?
Weapon.
Lethal Weapon movies with him, where Mel Gibson played the druggy, crazy Three Stooges guy.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, Mel Gibson's a very serious guy.
Indeed. Very,
right?
Very.
So podcasting, let's see. So, what should we talk about? I had a whole bunch of things in my head.
Yeah.
That I spaced out.
Well, that kind of.
Oh, you were really... you listened to yesterday's podcast, right?
The one of you and the guys in Starbucks.
In the Starbucks, yeah.
Starbucks are getting a lot of mileage out of podcasting. I think they should be sponsoring podcasts, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, not McDonald's, but the whole Wi-Fi ubiquity and the connectivity. I mean, not that you need connectivity to do a podcast. You obviously need it. You need connectivity to upload it.
Ironically, they didn't have enough connectivity in Starbucks for me to upload it.
Really?
However, the place we're sitting in right now, which is the basement of the,
I'm
where
not,
did I say it was? Where the Millennium UN Plaza, You have not been able to get on?
No, it says like no Wi-Fi found.
I've got it. You're
stolen it from me.
I'm not. I mean, you have free. Well, I was going to say we have free Wi-Fi here, and I get a log on screen. You can see, and it says $0 wireless access 1 hour. So I click on access the internet, and then it gets me this agreement, which of course I don't read, and then I accept it because I want to give them all my money and make them my heirs and sign. Oh,
what was that?
Something didn't work here. Hold on. Let's see if I can go to scripting. Yeah.
You know, I've got no wireless networks we found in range. Strange.
Well, here. Well, you bought a cheap computer, I guess. So,
no,
yeah. So here's I'm going to show Casa. We went to dinner at the Second Avenue Deli last night.
That was cool. Diana was cool.
I wish I had a little audio clip of her, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I wish I'd taken some.
Well, would you post them up when you get back to... Okay.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah.
When you get back to Britain. So I thought that was a nice picture of you.
That was me being very worried about the doctor.
Yeah. And then there's Edwin Newman. And some asshole complained that he thought my pictures were too orange. But I actually like orange pictures.
Yeah.
He says that any fool, except me, knows that there's a filter. Any fool says you can get rid of that shit. I also got an email last night from Cory Doctorow, a very snippy little email.
What was that about?
Saying that any idiot knows. Some of the people call me an idiot a lot. Maybe I should like take that to heart. But
I wouldn't.
Basically saying any idiot would know that what you want to do is fraudulent, but what Google wants to do is cool.
So what is it you want to do? What is it?
Oh, well, what I propose to do, I don't really actually want to do it. But is to, you know, he's released his book under the Creative Commons.
Oh, and right, yes.
So I offered to download it and change his name, replace it with mine, and then go print out a bunch of copies and sell them, and then go find a publisher who could publish my book. And Corey says, oh, no, that would be fraud. You can't do that. Oh, I see. Okay, good. That's good to know. There is a line in there. I thought that was good news. So.
Right. So you're obviously just trying to kind of like kick the boundaries around.
Well,
a bit
I'm trying to find out where the boundaries are for these people, because basically they've been sort of pretending, I guess, that there aren't any boundaries. I didn't believe really that it would be all right with Corey because, you know, because I can imagine that he had to go through some kind of a struggle with his publisher to get permission to do this.
Right.
You know, because his books are published by a real publisher that distributes it in bookstores. And when they look at the idea of uploading the full text of a book to a website, they must think, well, that's crazy. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
So, and this is probably their worst nightmare. So Corey kind of has to say, you can't do that. But
well, as soon as there's an ebook out there, you just go to alt.binary's ebooks.
Yeah.
And you'll be downloading it for free the next day, you know?
Right. And I think you could do that right now with
anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing that I don't want is, I used to write for a magazine, and they used to change my writing so that I would be saying things that they wanted me to say instead of things that I believed to be true. And I'd always ask them, well, why do you do that? And they would say, well, we're just making it better, or they never would have understood what you were saying, so we made it so that they would understand it, but of course in the process changing the meaning. It meant so much to me to be able to talk directly to people and say exactly what I meant to say that I quit and I don't get paid for writing. And now the ultimate insult is that this big heartless company, Google, wants to put ads on in the middle of my copy, not off on the side somewhere, which I wouldn't like either. You know, but they want to put it right in the middle of my copy, and I'm sorry, that's over the line for me. So I said to Corey, I said, that's fraudulent. that's a word, clearly, that's not, you know, not a good word.
The big issue I take with that is the, you know, you've got no control over what these things are going to be linking to. So somebody could be reading your blog and think, hey, Dave likes that enough to put a link in.
Right.
But, and I mean, obviously, there's no point in re-explaining it, obviously, but
and of course,
I mean, that's what, you know, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Like Dave likes, you know,
the Christian Coalition, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Or, for that matter, Cory Doctorow.
That's a bit heavy.
Yeah, I know. Well, but Cory's a little heavy. He told Scoble, every time Scoble said, what about this? Cory's answer was, I didn't listen to it, but apparently people tell me, Cory's answer was tough shit.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court of Cory is a pretty tough place.
So I mean, is it going to happen? Is it blog power, podcast power? Is this going to put a stop to Google's auto-linking?
People have told me from the inside of Google that it is not going to actually make it out. Yeah. And that sort of the really weird thing is that Google isn't communicating that, but that's Google, right?
Right.
Google doesn't say very much, but I'm pretty optimistic that you know. I mean, you know, the whole goal here is to make it so painfully obvious that if this isn't going to be popular, that they say, well, it's not worth the trouble to do this. I don't know. Yeah, I feel out there and kind of all alone doing this, and I'll do the best I can. And if it doesn't work, I'll start using carrier pigeons to send out my writing and
fly and upstream.
So tell me about your vision for how we're going to be editing and uploading our podcasts. How would you like to be editing and uploading your podcasts?
Well, the way it's a pain in the ass at the moment, obviously. I think if people are going to go, they read these news articles, they listen to the news, they read the paper, and they go, like, let's say your dad, he goes, hey, I want a podcast, and then
so he calls up his son and says,
so he goes, let's set me up a website.
Let's assume he doesn't have right.
And let's assume he doesn't have the feed father for a son, and so what's he going to do? Is he going to like hunt around a search engine to find out the answer and maybe have to install something nasty, or let's just get an FTP client, know all these various little details. I think what you just need is a very, very simple desktop application where you just drag, like the Flickr uploader, I think is a very neat little kit.
You know, so what would it, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because with the Flickr uploader, all you got to put
in. Well, tell people about the Flickr uploader. There might be one person in Antarctica who doesn't know how that works.
Yeah, Penguin.
Or a Linux user, right? Yeah. Not yet. Is it available?
It probably will be because I'm sure it's just written in Flash anyway. It's just a Flash wrapped up
app. Oh, really? They do their stuff in Flash, is that right?
It looks to me like Flash. But the interface. So basically, you've got this desktop application. This little square, tiny little square box, inobtrusive, and the first time you run it, you put in your login details that you would otherwise use to go to Flickr.com, and you just drag your JPEGs into this window, and then you hit upload, and that's it.
Yeah.
And in fact, after that, at that point when you upload, you can then choose to batch tag everything. So like when I upload stuff from my phone, I just go like Moblog, and that's it. And they're away.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
and do you know what the interface is like? How at a technical level, what
how
it communicates? Yeah, what goes on in the background?
I think it's just FTP.
You think it's
because,
FTP?
Because mind you, actually, because when you get
so it's very similar to upstreaming, then, or
in a way, but when it finishes the upload of your images, and you go, okay, are you done now, or do you want to go to a big page of all the photos you just did, and that if you just uploaded 100 photos, you get a long page to download.
Sure.
That will then put every title and description form field in there for you to fill in and tag on every picture. But the URL string it gives you, you can, it's like that image, that image, that image, that image, that image. You know, it's all a get on the get URL. And
I have something like that actually that
I think it's just FTP.
I have something like that that I call PicSorter, and I wrote it. I think I wrote it before Flickr existed.
Right.
So, like, that's one of the reasons why I was such a late adopter to Flickr, because I had my own tools.
Right.
What it does is, I basically, it knows where my camera is. So I dock my camera, and I double click on the script, runs the script. It swaps out, takes everything that's in the PicSorter folder and archives it.
Yeah.
And then takes all the new shit off the camera and puts it in that folder, and then it displays them on a web page, the pictures themselves, with checkboxes next to each one of them.
Okay.
And they're all checked by default. And then I uncheck the ones that I don't want to be uploaded.
Okay.
And then there's a button at the top and the bottom, and I click it and it uploads them. And then what it gives me when it's finished is the HTML that's ready to paste into a web page for all those pictures. So I go straight from the upload process to, you know, select all, copy, do a new blog post over, and I know that they have an interface in blogging. See, this seems to me to be the whole trick between...
But it gets complicated.
Wait, let me just get this thought out. Sorry, yes, no. It does become complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
But the trick here, for me at least, was that you want... The next thing you want to do after doing this, well, what is the next thing? For some people, I guess the Flickr approach is like, okay, I want to go to Flickr, right? Mm-hmm. In my case, what I want to do is do a blog post. That's why I put those things, that's why I put the pictures up there in the first place. So it's sort of like two different approaches. That's why Flickr, it's surprising to me that Flickr doesn't have a blogging tool in it.
It does. It does, yeah. You can go to an image and go blog this.
No, that's not what I mean. It can interface to... my blogging tool. In other words, I use either Manila or Radio or something right. like anything that supports the Meta Weblog API, right?
Right, yeah.
But no, why didn't they actually make it a blogging tool? Why isn't there like
that's what
why aren't they competing with Typepad?
Right, right.
Probably because they didn't want to compete with Typepad specifically because they wanted to partner with them, but it seems to me they did everything but the blogging tool. That a blogging tool in Flickr would be like the tiniest little corner of the functionality. This Flickr is this mega monolithic. I mean, it seems like they must have had 100 programmers working on it.
Well, oh no, there's a very clever guy. Something else.
Stuart Butterfield, right?
There's a guy called Cal Henderson.
Yeah.
Who he's been involved in all sorts of projects. Go to iamcal.com.
Where?
iamcal.
iamcal.com.
.com. Yeah.
And I'll go there, right,
which
now.
Is cool. And the I don't know if you've heard of a site called beta.com, B3TA, and yeah. It's kind of all memes and goofy Photoshop postings, Photoshop reworkings of images, and it's all nonsense, basically. But some of the stuff that comes out of that kind of this long forum is hilarious. But the, Cal Henderson the main kind of web level developer for Flickr.
I see. Really?
Yeah. And the one thing I really like with Flickr is what they do with the DHTML, where if you're logged in, the text, the title, the description, everything, you click on it and it turns into a form in front of your eyes. You know. So
wait, say it again. What happens when you
if you log into your Flickr account and you look at one of your old posts and you've got a title and description, it looks like it's just in plain HTML, right. But you click on it. And it turns into a...
So you can edit it. Yeah, it turns into a form.
It turns into a form field.
That's very rational.
And it's...
That's probably why you clicked on it, right?
But what I mean is, it doesn't. It's not like with some interfaces where you would have to click it. You're effectively clicking your URL, you're reloading the whole page.
Right,
And then, you're coming up with a form, and then you're posting that form.
I see,
and it does it on a layer above that. A little
very
bit like
elegant.
Gmail is doing things. And these sorts of... very clever use, I think, of dynamic HTML and JavaScript, I think, is really good. And that I think Yahoo are now going to employ a lot more of that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, of course, the big question everybody's asking is, well, not everybody, but many people are asking, why did they do 360 when they also were buying Flickr?
Yeah.
It seems like there's so many of these community systems, and they're really, you need just one, right? I know I said I wasn't going to mention Evan Williams and Odeo, but I got to say this. It seems like they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That a lot of what they want to do is basically reinvent Flickr, which seems really weird to me. And Flickr works where the other, sort of social networking systems didn't work because it has a purpose. Mm. Because the purpose is photography.
Yeah.
And a community built around photography can be a very rich community. Right?
Absolutely.
And perhaps a community built around podcasting, but is so fundamentally different from photography.
Yeah.
People say, if you look at it from a programming standpoint, big media objects. Oh, well, they're kind of the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. But they're missing that. That's only from that angle, because a photograph is sort of grokkable in an instant, right?
Yeah.
Because our brains are built to grok photographs, basically.
Explain grok.
Grok is a word that, as far as I know, came from a book by Robert Heinlein, A Stranger in a Strange Land. And there was an alien in that book named Valentine Michael Smith. And he came from Mars. And in Mars, they had a concept called grokking grok. And To grok something is to appreciate the fullness of it. It's not just an intellectual understanding of it. It's to it's to appreciate the fullness. It's not a, you know, so grok is like a deep understanding. I don't, how did I just use it? I said,
Anyway.
Oh, no, you can grok a photograph in an instant, right? Whereas a podcast, you can't. A podcast, who knows? I can't. I mean, we're doing a podcast right now. I don't know how it's going to end, right? And I'm doing it. I can't tell you.
We're live.
I can't tell you what we're going to say. I mean, although I'll tell you, it's actually, to get really meta, I think this has been very interesting so far, because we're talking about things. You know, we kind of don't, it was the first time we ever met face to face, but we share these interests and these sort of software things and why they work and why they don't. And, you know, a podcast is just about that. You know, every week probably would be a very good podcast. Yeah. You know?
It's quite a relief to actually communicate with somebody who actually understands what I'm talking
Same
about.
Same here, absolutely.
The amount of times I say things and you can just see it fly over their heads.
Yeah, because most people just use stuff and like it and don't like it, but don't know why they like it or don't like it. But if you want to make software, then you got to understand why people like it and why they don't. So my guess is that we don't need another, that a community built around podcasts like Flickr isn't going to be the freewheeling, fun, interesting place that Flickr is, just simply because building community around photographs is great. And then, of course, why Yahoo? You know, we know why, because they didn't know that they were going to acquire Flickr while they were developing Yahoo 360. They didn't even know what Flickr was until somebody knocked at their door and said, hey, you know, we've got 8 billion members here, and they're all getting ready to buy stuff from us. And
I mean, do you think they bought it just to kind of snuff it out?
I hope not. That would be really bad.
It would be.
You know, people say that Yahoo got their mojo back. I think they ought to go look up the word mojo.
Yeah.
It's not about snuffing things out.
Sure.
It's about making love. It's about making babies. It's about, you know, being sexy.
It's a mojo working.
It's like not how, it's not the shape, but it's how you shake it. So anyway, so if you were to like cut to the core, I want to steer us back around
to the little tool.
Well, right. The thing is that you could take a monolithic view towards, you know, what do people need from podcasting? They need basically everything under the sun, or maybe they just need a little tool, right?
Well, you can't create podcasting communities, even podcasters, without these people being, you know, people can find a way to record an MP3 file. I think that's probably the easiest.
Once I found a tool that could do it. Yeah, it was easy.
Finding a tool that could do it. You've got a sound recorder, so you can record to WAV, and then you could find a way of converting that.
I couldn't believe that Windows didn't have one built in. My machine has a microphone built into it. Why doesn't it have a piece of software?
I don't know whether it might be a licensing issue with Fraunhofer, maybe.
With what?
With Fraunhofer. Fraunhofer Institute, who developed MP3. So maybe it might have something to do with that, because I think there's some dues somewhere along the line that have to be.
Right. Well, Microsoft's rich. Why don't they pay the dues?
This is true.
I mean,
but then they've got, you know, they've got WMA, so they kind of go, well we don't want to kind of...
Because they should just ask they should call it, like, the king of pod. What?
Yeah, yeah. The guy behind looks like he's podcasting.
He's what?
He looks like he's podcasting.
He's podcasting?
He looks like it. Might be a similar reflection.
Oh, that's interesting. There's a guy who's wearing headphones and a microphone.
Yeah.
He's probably on a Skype call or something like that, would be my guess. If he's podcasting, it's like we're probably the only two people podcasting in the city of New York right now.
Interesting conversation going on in the background of my podcast.
So what are the basic functions? Say, okay, you were saying recording is sort of difficult or not?
Well, not difficult. I mean, I would say it's a no-brainer for anybody to look at the model of the Flickr uploader and translate that to uploading
audio. That's what you're saying.
That's all it is. You know, it's exactly the same functionality as the Flickr uploader, except uploading MP3 files.
Right.
And the next step after that will be uploading video files. You know, there will be that natural progression. It's as simple as that. And then
what about ID3 information? You want to
the ID3 information?
That?
Well, then what could possibly happen is maybe you would obviously. Okay, it's got to be a simple tool.
And what about generating RSS? You can do that too?
Yep. Okay, simple tool. Let's say I've dragged an MP3 file onto my application, and I hit the upload button. When that file is uploaded, it goes, okay, so, or in fact, maybe before it uploads, it goes, so what's the title? What's my description? I already know what the date is. I already know who you are. I don't know who the author. I know who the author is. Do you want to add some tags to it now? Do you want to add any other metadata to it to to make it better. Now, as far as the tools to write the ID3 tags on the desktop, it would actually be easier for me to do it on the server once it's arrived.
Right, because you have a PHP tool that does that.
Yeah, well, there's loads of open source.
So what you could do then is like basically read the RSS file and take the data off of that and do that on the server.
You know, I could generate the RSS and either on the desktop or the web.
So you're gonna you haven't actually done this work yet, have you? Or
I have.
Where would people go if they wanted to take a look at what it might look like?
Keep an eye on podbat.com. podbat.
I see. Okay, cool.
Because the reason why it's called Podbat is because we've got podcatchers out there, and catchers, what are they catching? You know, you have a batter, you know, batter up. You know,
so, you know, get up. Do they do that in Britain? I thought that was, it's cricket. Are you
all right? Yes,
it's bowling. Cricket.
Bowling.
You say bowling.
Yes, bowling.
So you have a pitcher and whatever. I can't do that. I'll stay talking like an American. So, so you would read the RSS file information and throw that onto the ID3 tags and...
I mean, there's originally when
would you ping audio.weblogs.com?
Oh, totally, yeah, totally. Right. I mean, you'd be able to...
all those kinds of things for
all
people.
All that sort of stuff could be either end. Could be on the server end, it could be in the application.
What about, how about this? This would be cool. How about letting them categorize their feed and categorize each post, too?
Absolutely.
So that it could be routed to
a directory.
Yes. So you sort of like do a what they call a folksonomy, right?
Folksonomy.
It's a very nice sounding thing. So yeah, so you could do that too, right?
Yeah.
So sort of like the front end for, and you're going to also operate the back end too. So yeah. It's a client server. So what protocol did we talk about then, that? What protocol do you want to use between the two?
Well, you see, this is where I was trying to work out what the Flickr uploader does, and I was about to say that it uses FTP because I've written a version of it that uses FTP,
right?
Because the wrapper that I have for the Flash has built-in FTP functionalities. You could email it if you want to, but the simplest way to do it is HTTP upload. And I got a feeling that's what they do. A couple of years ago, I wrote something called camobi.com, which is
how do you spell it?
CAMOBY.com. And when camera phones came out, I had one as soon as you could get one, and I wanted it to be called a camobi. In America, you call mobile phones cell phones. We don't call them cell phones.
What do you call them?
Mobiles, you know, or mobi. Everyone's like, where's my mobi? Well, where's my mobile phone? You know,
really?
It's your mobile.
Right.
In Germany, they call it handy. You know, it's mine handy.
My handy
is so small and has a camera, but MP3 recorder and HDP.
There's something about German accents that crack me up, like Dr. Strangelove. It's one of my favorite movies. Really, I didn't know. So that's what that means. So they call them the Mobi.
Yeah, some people call them a Mobi.
That's my Mobi.
But very few English people call it their cell phone.
That's what we call it. Cell. I call you on cell.
So basically, I went straight out and bought camobi.com because I thought, and every time I talk about a mobile phone with a camera, I don't call it a camera phone, or yeah, maybe I do, but what I wanted to do is make sure that every time I said the word or spoke about these camera phones that I had, because I was the first person I knew with one, and then Joe, or Doctor, had one, and I wanted to just, you know, you keep saying things enough, and people, it's like podcasting, you know. If somebody had said blogcasting straight off the bat.
I like blogcasting so much better than podcasting.
Well, because it doesn't have that horrible white plastic ring to it.
Well, this is something that you and I both agree on, that it's not a very popular thing, is that the user interface of the iPod is like from hell.
Pod is a great word, actually. Something I wanted to say, you know, the invitation to Sirius.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently... some people, some colleagues of mine, where I was yesterday, they said, make sure you go, because they have these pods, these audio booths, where they record things, and they're like little pods, and they're all kind of like acoustic, kind of...
Yeah. Oh, pod is a great word. Yeah,
it is a good word, but...
I have a Lexus RX...
Apple has now done it.
Well, it's still around. When I got my Lexus RX 300 SUV in 1999, it has this sort of... ovular rounded shape to it, sort of like an egg in a way. It kind of looks like one. And I felt like this was like my pod, and that's what I called it. And I used to tell people that basically this is sort of like your standard issue car. Everyone should be issued one at birth, basically. It's sort of like it's for our species. It's a transportation for our species. In other words, I kind of liked it or whatever.
So some people get like silver bracelets and like, you know, and you know, little white dresses, but other give people them get a Lexus.
Well, you know, kids got to get around, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of which, two of my creations have their birthday today. One of them, Scripting News, is 8 years old today, and Frontier is 17 years old today.
17 years.
And so, as I said today in my post, if it were a human being and 17 years old, it would be ready to reproduce, ready to drive, and pretty close to leaving home.
Old enough to do a lot more.
And as a parent of such a 17-year-old, one would have to say it's time to let go. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of auspicious in a way that last year was the year that all this wonderful technology was released under the GPL.
Yeah.
And slowly, I think, a new community is developing around that. And some cool things are going to happen there.
Yeah. With
it. So let's go back to your thing. So you're running a back end and a front end. Your back end is just simply for processing the... putting the ID3 information in, maybe maintaining a directory.
Ideally.
Hold on, doing some pings too?
Yeah, right? Yeah, we can do the pings. I have to say, kind of, step one will be simple client end, simple desktop end, and even the back end will do some processing. But if I can do it so that there's no back end processing, so all you need is web space.
Right. That would be pretty good too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. There you go. That's it, really. You know, if you can do that, then problem solved. And if it's easy.
There's no problem with the client doing the pinging and
it's easy,
and sorting things out for tags and stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. But also the you mentioned earlier about what I was going to say is it could also be a catcher. This desktop client, as well as being a batter, could also be a catcher, because as well as putting in my FTP details in it the details
HTTP,
to my website,
I
could also put in the drive letter that my media player plugs in out. And bingo, I'm just doing a file copy. You know, I can do download with nice pretty progress bars and little aliens jumping around and
Buddhas
bouncing around.
Well, don't underestimate the importance of aliens bouncing around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The problem with a lot of these tools is that there aren't any good. Where are the good Easter eggs? You know, it's 2005. Where are your Easter eggs? You know, there's no problem. Well, we don't need to have fun, but what the hell? Let's have fun. You know.
Exactly.
That's good. Yeah. Well, I think you're going to do the creation tool first, right?
I've built an uploader. What I haven't done is do the RSS bit of it, and that's
great. So you think maybe tomorrow or
it depends
next
what
week,
I could get done on the plane. It depends how much I sleep on the plane. But
you might want to catch up on your sleep on the plane.
Huh? I might have to do a bit of that.
So you're flying tonight. You're flying across the ocean tonight.
Yeah, I got to take off about 10.
And you arrive at 7 in the morning.
No, hang on. I arrive at 10. I think Saturday.
Is that right? Saturday morning, right?
So I'm just sense. I'll fly through the night and chase the sun.
That's pretty easy. New York to London is easy. San Francisco to London is not.
Yeah, I mean we did Vegas to London from CES, and I've never been West Coast before.
Really,
I've never been San Francisco yet, and that's where I had an ambition to go and work there. You know, that used to be my ambition. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Establish myself in my realm of what I'm good at.
If they would have welcomed you with open arms during the .com boom,
exactly,
and spit you right out.
Yeah,
like,
maybe I would.
You're probably better off having been where you are and get a real job. So we've been doing this. This is 34 minutes into it. So I think we said I think we said that we would try to keep this in. You know, because we both. I have to check out of my hotel.
Too,
you have to check out of yours.
I've got to get back over and check.
Just a little bit of housekeeping. What's your email address? So people can send you.
podbat@gmail.com.
podbat@gmail.com. And a lot of people asked me for my dad's email address in the last one. And I didn't want to put it on Scripting News because I didn't want to subject him to the spam and whatever. I would have happily put it into the podcast that he did, because that would have sort of meant that people would have had to listen to the podcast.
Interesting thing.
No, I just want to say his email address now, so that if anybody wanted to write him, it's lwiner9, that's lwiner9 at yahoo.com.
Interesting, I was just thinking of, with Gmail, obviously.
You listen, by the way, you listen to my dad's podcast.
Yeah.
You thought it was pretty good.
Hell of a guy,
I thought. I got so much positive feedback on it.
Yeah, even my brother phoned me up, they said, I've just listened to Dave's dad.
We're going to try to do one with my mom and my dad tonight.
That was good. Yeah, we kind of said hello briefly to your mom. She was there when you Skyped me, was she? Or you just played the Bloodcast.
Oh, she listened to it. I don't think you ever talked to her, but she listened to it.
Oh, I thought she was there in the background when you said...
No. No, I was in Florida. But no, my mother listens to all the podcasts. She's a real... she's probably listening to this right now. You know, hi, Mom.
Hi, Dave's mom.
And I'm going to try to do one with both of them, or maybe just her tonight or whatever. So you get to meet the whole clan.
There was something else I was going to... Something I was just going to say then, but it's slipped my mind. Maybe it'll keep.
I'm sorry for I interrupted you.
We
can wait. It's okay. We have nothing better to do.
That's true. Killing time, drinking coffee.
This is really morning coffee notes after all, because they gave us a full pot of coffee here, so we sort of feel obligated. I had just said your email address, which is podbat@gmail.com.
Oh, no, I was going to say the Gmail thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, like the darling of the webmail now, obviously. Are they going to be putting auto-linking into the email copy?
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, I...
No. Yes, of course they are, because...
They have ads since... I mean, I like the ads that they put on in Gmail.
Sure.
Because they are relevant to something I might be talking to somebody about.
Right.
And what if I'm talking to somebody about...
And they're easy to tune out if you don't. Right.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, it's like you can... You know, you don't notice them unless you kind of just... Oh, look, there's these ads. And but if links start appearing in my email,
yeah, no kidding.
You know, get out of here.
Yeah.
Get off my email. You know, that's like, that's
personal. Yeah, that's the funny thing about the auto link thing is that it's going to creep up on people and they're going to wonder why nobody complained about this when it first appeared.
I mean, would you mind if, would you be less, what about if, you know, the argument about if they would use like dotted lines, wavy lines, and that?
No, I wouldn't. That would not be enough for me. Yeah. And in fact, you know, what I have suggested to them, although they didn't really want to hear this, is that they do the links off on the side, the same way they're doing the linking in ad copy. You know, in other words, create a frame over on the right hand side of the page, if you must do this, and just say related links, and then boom, 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 boom. You know, link to things that you absolutely need to link to, so that they're segmented, so that it's very clear that this isn't part of my content. It's in a frame off by itself. I still wouldn't like that because I don't have ads on most of my web pages. The ones that I do have ads on, sure, that's fine. See, Google AdSense is all opt-in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm a member of it. I use it. I get my check every month. Exactly. I deposit it. It helps defray my costs of web hosting, but I only put it on non-editorial pages. I put it on weblogs.com.
I
put it on, you know, like XMLRPC, which is, by the way, a really high-flow site. So I put an ad on that because there's basically a system archive. There isn't a whole lot of new stuff being posted. And, you know, so I make my choice about where the ads go, and I put them there. And I'd be perfectly happy to continue doing that. Why they're not, I think it's kind of obvious. They want to make more money. And if they can cut me out of the equation, they'll make my money and their money, number one. Number two is, if they can put ads everywhere when I will only put them some places, then, you know, then that makes them more money too. But I would vastly prefer that to the idea of them messing with what I write.
Yeah.
Messing with what I write is just totally not acceptable.
Yeah.
We're going to have to, if that is the way the web's going to work, we're going to have to leave the web. And not only am I going to have to leave the web, but any publication with integrity is going to have to leave the web, because the reader simply isn't going to know who's saying what anymore. And
People won't trust the HTML, won't trust the web browser anymore.
What they're seeing,
what they will trust is smart little bouncy applications written in Flash that are really good at reading RSS feeds. You know, so there's the data. There's your content. Your content's there. Well, already, that opens already a whole other.
Everybody, this one when people
browser
really,
is dead. Everybody.
Well, now I wouldn't go that far because
I'll take it back.
Because you can leave it there. Let's see if you take it back after I say this though. Is that when people really give this discussion serious thought and don't just dismiss it out of hand, the issue next issue that comes up is, well, what about blog lines? Like when they put ads on your copy, how do you feel about that? You know. And you know, blog lines is showing up more and more in my referral logs. I mean, there's a lot of people reading my stuff in blog lines.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'll tell you, the answer is I don't think that's as objectionable as what Google does, because there's no question when people are reading it in blog lines that they know that they're reading something that has been it's been processed.
Sure. Yeah.
So they're less likely to believe that I put the link there. On the other hand, I don't think it's a good idea, and I don't want them to do it. Mm-hmm. And would it stop me from publishing an RSS? Probably not. Would it lead me to do something like blocking blog lines from subscribing to it? Sure.
Yeah.
In other words, all that this is going to accomplish in the end. All this crap that these technology companies want to do, or at least Google, you know, let's not like speak on behalf of the other technology companies. So far, it's just Google, is that they want to do is balkanize the web. They want us to put up a, you know, we'll put up a Berlin Wall. We'll try to keep them in, you know.
Yeah.
They already have phenomenal problems right now with, Google, actually, very few people are focused on this, and it's kind of hard to switch the focus without sort of sounding a little alarmist, but Google's having a lot of trouble maintaining the integrity of their index because people have become so good at spamming it. And,
well, that's
right.
True. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, you know, you'll do searches on things that seem to have absolutely nothing to do with Viagra, but somehow Viagra will be the first hit.
Boing.
That was a good one. Right on, everybody. I don't want to say what I was thinking, but everybody. sorry. Boing. So, everybody, we are now at 42 minutes.
Wow.
So we're going to have to do this again sometime. We'll have to do it.
We will.
You know, this is our second podcast, right? We have Skype.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, the last one we did, it kept kicking out. My Skype kept kicking out. We're going to have to figure out how to do that. Or I'll come to London and we can do one there on the other side of the ocean.
Well, I think there are some people who may be wanting to see you in London.
Even if they don't want to see me, I can afford to pay my own way. You know, that happens sometimes too. So,
and you got a big birthday coming up too, haven't you?
I do, but I also have to get eye surgery, so that's sort of sitting in the
middle. When's that going to happen?
I haven't scheduled it yet, you know, I'm going to try to leave myself free to go have. Yes, I have the big 50th. So today is 17 for Frontier. It's 8 for Scripting News, but that's nothing compared to the next one, which is coming up in a month and a day, which is my 50th birthday.
In fact, there's a guy that when you do come over, because yes, you will be coming to London.
How about the girls who are saying, "Oh yes, he will be coming"?
Oh yes, you will. Be coming. No,
girls don't talk that way.
There's a guy that
the girls talk like that.
Yes.
And, oh, Dave.
tangent.
We're having too much fun here. You know? That's 43
too much,
minutes.
Too much caffeine.
43 and 17 seconds. 18 seconds.
But this guy, there's like one day between your birthdays, I think, and.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, now I have a story to go with that too. Have me born on my grandfather's birthday.
I think you're only a week away from my father's birthday, actually.
Yeah, I was one day away from my grandfather's birthday. He was born on May 1st.
It's not Gemini, is it? You're the one.
Taurus. Taurus, which
just
means we're obstinate and pushy. And,
I'm Gemini.
And what does that mean? You're a colony.
I'm
easygoing.
Diplomatic. Some people would say two-faced. I would say diplomatic.
I
avoid arguments by trying to see both sides of the problem.
Oh, I think it's good to have people like that around.
But, I mean, that's kind of...
You also digress. You should have that on your business card. I digress.
No. I don't. I'm just like recursive...
It's okay. You need somebody around. We have the signal to tap on the table and say, enough. Okay, so everybody... It's been, this is now 43 minutes, so we've talked enough.
Thank you, Essie.
Coming to you from New York City, the basement of the UN Millennium Plaza Hotel.
It's a nice place.
This is Morning Coffee Notes for April 1st, 2005.
Bah, it's all been a joke.